the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, peace and salutation of Allah be upon all of you. Salam, this is today's special, and we're going to speak about entertainment in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waftaqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هالينا.
Today, Tuesday, is the 24th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Aban, 13, 99 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 10th of November 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this moment, we'll listen to Surah Ar-Rum, verses 31 to 32.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم منيبين إليه واتقوه وأقيموا الصلاة ولا تكونوا من المشركين.
Adhere to it, turning in repentance to him, and fear him and establish prayer, and do not be of those who associate others with Allah.
من الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون.
Or of those who have divided their religion and become sects, every faction rejoicing in what it has.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Wherever we see discord, deviation, and separation, we must know that a kind of polytheism domains there. This subject can be stated as a clear conclusion that the fruit of polytheism is separation of roles, opposition, and powers being spoiled, and its end is weakness, wildness, and inability. The reason why every group of deviated persons and polytheists are rejoicing in the way they have chosen and imagine it as true is clear because carnal desires decorate the wishes in the man's view, and the fruit of this decoration is an increasing affection and rejoice for the way he has chosen. Through that way is wrong and aberration. Sensuality never lets men see the feature of truth in its real form and find a correct judgment free from love and wrath. Topic for today's special, entertainment in Islam. Involvement in legal pleasures is an outlet for man's natural instincts and serves as a balance between the soul and body. Our nafs, or carnal self, can be compared to a pressure cooker which will explode if its steam is not allowed to escape. Every person needs a break from his or her daily regular routine, and if this break is not taken in form of entertainment, then our nafs revolts. The need for entertainment is more significant in young children. Islam advises parents to explain entertainment guidelines for their children based on the present time. Parents cannot expect their children to have fun in the same manner in which they themselves had in their childhood. Shia's first Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, has advised parents, do not force your children to behave like you, for surely they have been created for a time which is different to your time. Restrictions should be made based on Islamic laws and not on cultural habits.
Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with recreation and enjoying oneself in everyday life as depicted in Islam. Now we find that in the purpose of all of these Islamic instructions is giving people spiritual development and spiritual enrichment. It's indicated in the book Nahj al-Balagha, which is a collection of the teachings of the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. It's indicated that any believer is expected to have three specific times, separate times, well-defined times in his or her life. Sometime specified for supplication, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for saying prayer, reciting the Holy Quran, or offering prayers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, the religious, spiritual aspects. Another time is specified for working, for running one's life. Naturally, all people need working, working for the sake of earning money. I mean, in the Islamic religion, we find that all people are expected to work, to do their best in order to run their lives. And another one, and another time is when people should specify for receiving recreation and receiving delight and happiness, and to relieve themselves from the burdens of the daily toils and troubles. So we find that receiving having recreation and receiving delight and being happy is one of the natural needs of it, one of the natural needs of everybody.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now that we are speaking about entertainment, we look at what is forbidden or haram fun. The most important point in having fun from the Islamic point of view is that one should choose a sort of entertainment that does not harm oneself and others. That's a good criteria. So if you have a careful look into the Quranic verses that name some kinds of pleasure forbidden, you can realize that those may lead into harm for the person, him or herself, and people around him or her. Therefore, any entertainment in which people use drugs or alcohol, such as parties in which alcohol or drugs are used, or even nightclubs and bars that are the exact places for this kind of entertainment, are totally rejected in Islamic lifestyle.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love. And you showed that you're the one who cares the most. And to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
During this week and in different episodes of today's special, we have looked at forms of halal entertainment. Today, we introduce you to two other ways: relaxing and nature. We all need a break, and nobody can pray all day. The Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny recommended that we make our lives in balance and set an hour for your Lord and an hour for yourself, meaning that we should split our day and balance between Islamic work and living life. So do not stress when you get tired. Sit back and relax. It's perfectly halal, just don't sleep through any salat times. The other form of entertainment, halal entertainment of course, is nature. What do I mean by that? I love nature, whether it is the ocean, forests, animals. I just love being out in the natural environment. It is one of those times when we feel closest to Allah and feel peace inside. There is no feeling equal to praying under a tree or on a mountain. Take my word for it and book your next family holiday at some place natural.
Many people ask about halal and haram entertainment. Where do we draw the line? And what is Allah's vision for us? What is the Quranic vision for us? We as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to observe and respect His commands. Aren't we as citizens required to obey the laws of the land? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. What about His laws? Are there forms of entertainment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us about? Are there forms of entertainment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has discouraged us from? I would like to share with you some examples for us to better understand what are the haram forms of entertainment and what's the philosophy behind that. Just to make us miserable, to deprive us the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ. Allah says there are some people who go and buy lahw al hadith. What's lahw al hadith? Hadith means speech, as you know. You will find, for example, idle talk is a translation. Another translation is enchanted diversions, distracting talk. All these are translations of lahw al hadith. But let's hear from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. What kind of definition have they given us? You will find exegetes have stated that this verse was revealed when a man, one of the Muslims, he purchased a slave girl who would sing. This was common in Arabia. They would purchase them. She would sing for him day and night. She distracted him. He fell short of his obligations. He forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi conveyed to his community that this verse has been revealed in order to warn us about the dangers of these types of distractions, singing and songs.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark, I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam. Salam, friends, and here is a brief but bright statement on the realities of life expressed by Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O people, you should know that everyone who walks on the surface of this earth will eventually go beneath it.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Most of us see physical wealth as being the greatest of wealth, having a lot of property, a lot of money, a big bank balance, many bank accounts, offshore bank accounts, and so on and so forth. This is what we see as being real wealth. But this is not the case. As we mentioned previously, wealth in itself is not a bad thing. Obviously, how we see it, how we use it, what we do with it, all these type of things also play a role in what that wealth may actually be or what it will do for us. But in this tradition that we will mention today from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, it shows that who is truly one of the most wealthiest persons, one of the most richest of people on the face of the earth. That is that person who doesn't look towards others, and that person who has complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for him, to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has allocated the provision and the sustenance for this person. Again, it must be mentioned that this sustenance does not mean that a person sits at home and does nothing. You know, some people have that thing that, you know, just risk is there and you will get it regardless. Certain risks are there, yes, that you will get it. For example, oxygen. If you go out or don't go out, but even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cut it from you at any given moment when you start choking. But here the Holy Prophet says that he who wishes to be the richest of people should be more trusting of what is in Allah's hands. And he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that one, or is that being who is the true owner of this person's sustenance, is the true owner of this person's provisions. And that this person, obviously, by putting his correct efforts in where they need to be put, it will come to him what is allocated for him. He does not need to run around here and there. As we read in the dua that we do in after Salatul Isha or the night prayer, you know, that I run around looking for my sustenance, even though I know that it is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. That he who wishes to be the richest of people should be more trusting of what is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands than what is in the hands of others. That if I need something, I should not immediately turn to others, but rather first I should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, that does not mean that these people cannot be those mediums and means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me my need. By firstly turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in my heart that, you know, this person, for example, can help you, or that person, for example, can help you. Or rather, he sends that person to you, which is on a higher level and on a higher plane. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to truly put our trust in him and to truly be of those who are the wealthiest of people in this world because of their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
The Ocean of Dua.
ثم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Allah.
listeners, we started talking about how to pray for ourselves and what to ask from the Almighty Allah when it comes to ourselves, when it comes to praying for ourselves. Generalization was the first one, and also not to be stopped asking for smaller things when we face the great needs that we ask from the Almighty Allah. And the third one, which we sufficiently discussed in the previous program, was to pray for the great bounties. And in this regard, we read to you, dear listeners, a very interesting and important narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam, reporting from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding that Bedouin which came to the Prophet and asked him just for a simple camel, its saddle, and some provision. But the Prophet said, what a difference between the request of the Bedouin and that of an old lady from Banu Israel, the story of which was sufficiently told.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Now, one of the other things we should beseech Allah the Exalted in our prayers is that He should suffice us by His planning and tadbir from our planning for ourselves, and that He should take care of our affairs through His mercy and wisdom. We should also beseech Allah that He may not leave any of us in our affairs on ourselves. And this is the complete meaning of reliance on the divine planning, reliance on the Almighty Allah's willings, and to be content. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says in the supplication of Arafah, O Lord, suffice me from planning for myself through your planning for me, and from my choice through your choosing for me. A phrase in the widespread prayer of Sha'baniya reads, and take charge of my affair as is worthy of you. And in another prayer we read, His knowledge of my condition suffices me from asking Him. But this shouldn't stop us from raising our hands to the Almighty Allah and His station, since He Himself has ordered us to do so. It is said that when Namrud ordered his men to throw Prophet Abraham into the fire, the angel Jibra'il came to him and said, have you got a need? He alayhi salam replied, yeah, I have one, but not from you. Allah suffices me. He is the best custodian. Thereafter, the angel Mikael came to him and said, if you wish, I can put out this fire, for the treasuries of rain and water are in my hand. He said, I do not want. And then came the angel of wind to him and said, if you want, I can blow out the fire. And he alayhi salam replied, I do not want. So Jibra'il said, then ask Allah. He said, His knowledge of my condition suffices me from asking Him. And here, let me emphasize again that this does not mean abstinence from praying to Allah the Exalted. And it rather means relying on the planning of Allah, relying on that tadbir of the Almighty Allah for His servants the way He deems suitable. This is in fact a state of relying on Allah in all affairs and having confidence in the decree of Allah, His wisdom and planning. And there is no difference whether you are in ease or in difficulty.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean, And he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water. The ocean is infinite. Inasmuch as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedast. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va pas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah.
Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
In the supplication of Arafah, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "O Allah, the difference in your planning and the quick change in your decree has prevented your servants who have thorough knowledge of you from being assured by a blessing and to despair of you during hardship." And this is indeed among those subtle concepts that the supplications of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are replete with. The Imam alayhi salam says that those of the servants of Allah who have attained recognition of Him never depend on a bounty, however enormous it might be, as they do not lose hope in Allah during difficulties, however severe it might be. And this is because of the reason that they have comprehended the quick succession and change in His command and decree in relation to His servants. And that's why they are never assured by a blessing or provision, nor they despair of Allah's mercy during hardships. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
blesses us with the ability to see our own faults. One of the big problems that we face, a big obstacle, a big roadblock that prevents us from making progress is the inability in seeing our own flaws. We like not to have flaws. Nobody likes to have problems. Nobody likes to have flaws. Nobody likes to have issues. The real way to deal with that, the correct way of dealing with that, is not to turn a blind eye, not to not see it, but to see it and try your best to get rid of it. Sometimes what happens is, because we don't like to see it, we're in denial. We don't like it, and we can't believe that we are involved with that problem. We have that problem. When it's brought to our attention even by people, sometimes what ends up happening is we're in denial. No, I didn't do that. I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. I'm not like that. We're able to see it in others. We're not able to see it in ourselves. It's a big problem. There's many reasons why this happens with us. One of the things that we have, the hadith that we have, is that we're told not to allow us picking the flaws of others keep us busy from seeing those flaws in ourselves. We're able to see it in everybody else, but we're not able to see it in ourselves. This is a big problem. Sometimes I said we're in denial. We try not to see it. Now that's a problem that I hope we haven't reached or hit that problem yet. Because if we keep going at not fixing our problem when we see it, eventually we'll stop seeing it and we're going to be in denial. We'll see it in others. When others bring it to our attention, in our marital life, when our spouse brings it to our attention, over the years, every time she mentions it or he mentions it, whoever it is, the other party, the other side, mentioning it, I don't like it when I hear it. I don't like to see it in myself, and there's always a way of turning it around, spinning it around, and seeing it in the other side, blaming the other side. Eventually, what that does is, God forbid, that because of our own deeds, us covering it up, something that was obvious, it's a problem that's obvious in us, anyone who's around us can tell, can see. We used to see it. Instead of dealing with it, instead of getting rid of it, instead of trying to fix it, we start to blind ourselves to it. Eventually, we actually don't see it anymore. That's a very complex situation. I hope to God none of us here are dealing with that problem. Especially myself. Again, it's a problem that if it keeps going for a while, you just stop seeing that problem in yourself. When people come and tell you, people come and tell me, oh, you have this, I'm like, I'm looking, I'm honestly looking, I'm not seeing it. And it's because I can no longer see it. But before things get that bad, or for people who have actually even tried dealing with their problems, we're still not too good at seeing those problems. Sometimes I think I'm good at it. Yeah, I blame myself. When people tell me I have a problem, I look, I see the problem, I try to get rid of it. But still, there are layers of problems and impurities I have trouble seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us when He shows those problems to us. Sometimes the way He shows those problems and the way He helps us, not just showing, because when a person, the type of person that we're talking about right now, are people that are good, like your good selves. You're trying to see issues, problems, imperfections, because we're imperfect. We're trying to make progress. We're trying to purify ourselves. There's impurities that you need to purify yourself from. Everybody needs to do that, right? We need to keep ascending. We need to, whatever level we're at, for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with the ability to see, not just for the heck of it, for them to see that it's there, but with also the ability and the assistance of getting rid of the problem. But how does this occur? This occurs with serious difficulty, unusual hardship. I'm sure you've read the Quran, inshallah, you read it more frequently and you try to pay closer attention to the meanings of the verses of the Quran. There's many stories in the Quran about prophets. Prophets went through purification. There are role models. It's not like they didn't go through purification. They were born in a way where they needed zero purification. No, they needed purification. Even our Prophet, which is the greatest human being, the greatest of all creation, he went through purification. This is not me saying it. I can't even understand. I can't speak on behalf of the Prophet or say or attribute anything to him. It's there. It's both in the Quran and also in his own sayings and the sayings of the Imams. There's a process. The difference, of course, is that he started way up there already, and the impurities that he had to get rid of, we can't even get our heads around that impurity, because it's so pure, you can't see it. It's like a person who is not, does not have a trained eye for impurities in gold. You show me that gold, it's so flashy, it's so much, so pure. To my eye, I can't spot any impurity in it. But for someone who is an expert in it, who can identify it, they look at it and they can spot certain things on there. The Holy Prophet went through purification. Every human being goes through purification. The stories of the prophets are there. Look at the stories of the Prophet in the Holy Quran, the prophets in the Holy Quran, and see what they went through. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. I'm speaking for myself. I know there's tons of issues and problems that I have that I'm not able to see. And that He tries to get me to see them with the difficulties and the hardships He puts me through. And instead of me being thankful and seeing them, we get upset at Allah, why He has brought that difficulty, that hardship. For us to be gifted by Allah with the ability to see our flaws. When we're looking for them, we're trying to perfect ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us. When we're put through that hardship, it's a blessing. Instead of taking it as a blessing, we get more angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start saying, why the hell is this happening? God this, why did God bring this upon me, this, that, the other, all those negative. But to see it, and then he's taught, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with the ability to admit that it's not God's fault or anyone else's fault or anything wrong or anything bad. It's actually I who have a problem. Accept that at heart. It's not an easy thing to do. That's actually the most difficult part of it. That's the part we don't want to do. When you don't want to admit, it's my problem, I have a problem. Or if we are willing to do it internally, we don't like to express it. When we realize it, we don't want others to know.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen شكورٌ ودود قيومٌ رؤوف صبورٌ مجيد
قيومٌ
محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stand here so unafraid of everything around me. Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din wal-azam, ghayru din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about business and trade according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, That's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javid, it's a couple of episodes that we are focusing on Ayatollah Khamenei's judicial views and Islamic laws on trade, business and income. And I asked you a couple of questions. Let me start this episode with this question. What is the Islamic law about working in a store or a shop where one has to sell alcoholic beverages along with other goods and articles?
Yeah, this is a very important question since a lot of, for example, Muslims who live in the West,
yes,
work in superstores. They work in convenience stores, and they sell things, both halal and haram things. But one of the things they usually sell is alcoholic beverages.
Yes,
and they cannot help actually avoid not selling, avoiding. You see, they cannot help avoiding. You see, alcoholic beverages. Now, when it comes to alcoholic beverages, of course, the position of all the religious authorities is clear. It is absolutely forbidden to do anything mm-hmm. associated with alcoholic beverages, selling, transporting, and delivering alcoholic beverages are absolutely forbidden. But okay, if someone has to work in a store, he has to make his best to avoid selling these things, to avoid even carrying wine bottles or delivering these things, because it will have some impact on his salary. According to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, he is of the view that the money you receive for doing that job, for doing that small work, maybe
yes.
giving a bottle to a non-Muslim, a bottle of wine or alcoholic beverage to a non-Muslim, your salary for that 5 minutes or 4 minutes of the time you spend
mm-hmm.
doing this work is halal. But when it comes to other jobs that you're doing, for example, you are selling halal stuff in the store, you spend, let's say, 8 hours selling halal things,